Well, we've already had a few testimonies, but I think I want one more. We'll wait a minute. Praise God. Want to greet everybody. We all spread out. Don't you want to come a little nearer? Come on, you know Vaughn likes everyone to be a little nearer. Makes it feel a little more... Tim, you got a testimony, mate?
Good evening. I went out witnessing today at the mall for, I think, the first time since the revival started. So I had to slap myself a few times for that. But I was so terrified. I couldn't believe it. It was so, like, nerve-wracking. I went out with Coots. She's not here right now. But and I was like, all right, so what do we do? And she's like, I don't know. I haven't done it either. And I was like, oh, great, you know. I'm out here with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. And so, you know, we're in the mall just, like, and we were just not sure where to start, where to stand and not, like, be awkward and get in the way of the salespeople. And then we see this sign, and it just says, get the word out. And it's for something like some kind of word publisher. I don't know what it was for, but it was this huge, like, billboard in the mall. And I was like, that's it. You know, we're going to stand right here. So we stood in the middle of this mall. It was like the intersection between all the mall. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So we were talking to a few people. Were just like, hi, you know, can we give you a minute? Nobody wanted, you know, we try to be like, oh, do you know what time it is? And then get their attention. And it didn't really work. And so finally we had a couple people that were just like, you're really brave for doing that. And you know, but didn't want us to pray for them. So we finally went to this threading, eyebrow threading thing. And it was really fascinating. And we were trying to talk to the person that was waiting for her friend to get done. And we were praying for her. And then we finally talked to the woman that was doing it. And she was a Hindu. And we're just like, we just want to share the love of Jesus with you. Can we have a couple minutes of your time and just talk with you? And she said, yeah, she's a young girl. She's a very beautiful girl. And so we were talking with her, and Coots just starts preaching to her, like, seriously, you know, just quoting all kinds of scripture at her, just, you know, not letting her. We didn't let her move, and she was kind of, she looked relaxed, though, and her eyes were starting to get watery, and you could tell, like, the Spirit was there. And Pastor Don was teaching us in the class this morning, if one is talking, the other person is praying. And so I'm speaking in tongues as best as I know how under my breath, and just trying to, you know, and I was trying to say to her, you know, I know Hindus have a lot of gods, but this is not another god to put on your shelf. This is a god that lives inside your heart that you carry around with you. And so Coots, she were like, do you want that Jesus? After giving her some testimony from about Coots's mom, she said yes, and we prayed right there with her. I got her phone number and her name, and I gave her our website address and stuff. So it was exciting because another soul for the kingdom.
Tim, is this mic loud enough? Yeah, it is for me.
Oh, man, praise God. This morning, I went to the class and everything and actually got a call from a friend. I was planning on going, actually, like, I'd been praying all night, and then in the morning I knew I was supposed to be going out today. And I got a call from a friend, and I wasn't able to leave with everyone else. So actually, I had to tell them to leave without me because I had to stay back and pray with another person, you know. And everyone ended up leaving, so I ended up alone at the church, and I'm like, I need to get to the mall, you know. And I knew Satan was trying to hinder me from getting there because God had really built up my faith for it. And so I was like, you know what, Satan, you're going to get smacked in the face because I'm going to start battling in prayer for all these people, you know. So I got on, I just went on my knees. I started praying like crazy for everybody, for a double portion of the Spirit and all of them, you know, authority and power and the Holy Spirit to be with them. And then right then I asked God, I was like, God, can I have a ride too to the church? Because everybody had said there was no way for me to get there. No, everybody was already there, and everyone I asked wasn't able to. And all of a sudden, 1 minute later, Bill pulls in, you know, Bill the drummer, drummer Bill. He pulls in to get his booklet off of one of the chairs. And I ran up and said, Bill, is that you? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, man, I know it's a little crazy, but is it all right if I get a ride to the church to go minister to people? And he says, to the mall, that's what I meant, because he came to the church. That's right. Everybody does that. No. So he was like, yeah, actually, and I was like, you know, it's crazy because I just asked God for it, and you just showed up. And he was really excited about that. And so he drove me to the mall, and we get there. I meet up with Jeremy. And Jeremy and I go out preaching, and we ran into one of his friends, Mark, and it was probably one of the most emotional, like, I guess, salvations that I've been through. When we approached him, I felt the heat of God, you know, like the fire of God just radiating, and there was such a spiritual battle between us two. He wasn't denying God or anything. It's just God was really reaching out to him, And it got so hot, he started to sweat. I was sweating. Jeremy was sweating. And we start praying, and he couldn't say, "I accept you as my Lord, Jesus." He wanted to, but he couldn't say it. And so I stopped, and I started ministering to him, and I said, you know, this is the day of salvation. You know, I remembered those things on the cards that you gave us or the paper, you know, and the first one was people say, "I'm not ready yet," or something like that. Yeah. And I was like, today's the day. It's an opportune time. You know, I remember that verse. And I said it to him, and I started ministering to him a little more. And so I started leading him in the prayer, and he was doing good. And he kind of stopped in the middle of it because it was getting emotional. And I wrapped my arms around him, and we continued the prayer. And then he finished up, and then it was just so awesome. He had tears in his eyes. And, you know, Jeremy and I were excited. Jeremy was preaching, I was preaching. We were both going at it like crazy.
Wonderful, Jesus. Xavier, you're going to have to give your story, your testimony in the morning, okay? So whoever's, I want to hear, especially what Wednesday, today was a bit more of a slap in the head. If you've got your Bibles with you, can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10? I'm going to read a lot of scripture tonight. Thanks. I want to remind everybody, it's the word that gets them saved. 2 Corinthians 10, beginning verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but absent am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I'm present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Christ's, let him again consider this in himself, that just as he is Christ's, even so we are Christ's. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Well, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letter when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are in present. Verse 12, one of my favorite verses in the book of Corinthians. For we dare not, somebody say dare not. It says we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. A sphere which especially includes you. For we are not extending ourselves beyond our sphere, thus not reaching you, for it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord, for not he who commends himself is approved, but who the Lord commends. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. I just wanted to talk tonight on those verses in chapter 11. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, for indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. That's my only point tonight. A simplicity that is in Christ. We've become such a complex people. I went to get a phone this Thursday, and I don't know much about new phones, so I wanted something I could email with. I didn't particularly look for a toy. I wasn't looking for something that I could play a lot of games. So I didn't need an iPhone, so I went there. And even just picking a simple phone, it was just so stinking complicated in my head. It took me such a long time to try and figure out all these different models of phones. What is at the moment going on in the minds of people in this world? If people in this world were to try and separate all their thoughts that they've had this week and try and put them in categories, you probably find that you've had thoughts of about 10,000 different subjects in one week from all the news that you've heard, from everything you've read, all the information you got, all the texts you've had. And, you know, what is the fruit of it? But he says here, I fear lest you be robbed from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, is it that simple? Is it really that simple when Jesus says things like, take no thought for tomorrow? Is it so simple where Jesus says things like, do not be afraid, only believe? Is it so simple when he says things like, be not unbelieving, but believing? And you begin to wonder, who's the complicated one around here? Which one of us has to do some major changing? If the creator of all the universe could come down here in his earth suit and just speak to people so simply, so plainly, why are we getting so hung up on everything that we're trying to do for Jesus? What is going on in our heads? What's going on in our minds when we go to the mall to spread the word? One of the things is, of course, the sin of comparison. Comparison is where all inferiority is rooted. Every one of your inferiority problems is rooted because you compare yourself to somebody else. And as soon as that's your case and your portion, well, then you're a loser. Because as long as you're comparing, trust me, I can find somebody who's better at everything you do. Amen. Your very best gift is still second rate to somebody I know, let alone somebody you probably know as well. So as soon as we go down that path, then our whole life becomes complex because now we're trying to climb out of a hole of inferiority. We're trying to talk to somebody uphill. We're trying to speak to someone like they're Goliath and I'm just a little boy. And that's what kills us. But there's a simplicity that God wants to bring in our lives, and I'm getting jealous for it again. I want simplicity in my life again. I remember when I first got saved. Now, some of you youngsters, you were raised in church, but some of us guys who weren't saved, and as you know, until I was 29 years old, my life was, you know, a complete mess. And then when I got saved, I had some of these, like this young fellow was sharing today, that the simplicity of God speaks to your heart, then man speaks to you what God just spoke, and then somebody just texts you what, and wow, this is simple. Yeah. That's the point. After that, it gets so complicated. Which of us right now have got complexities in our mind about the money we owe, the relationships we have, concern about our kids, concern about our spouses, our family, our jobs, the economy of the country, the complexity that's going on in our mind when Jesus is saying, that's my new word, But can we live there? You say, oh, well, it's not that simple. Well, maybe it isn't, but if it was, remember that guy, woman, I don't know who it was, who made all that money from a little book, you know, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff or Big Stuff, or which stuff was it? I never read it. Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It's all small stuff, yeah. There's Jesus, it's all small stuff. If you've got your eyes on Jesus, it's all small stuff. All of it. Your health, your relationships, your finances, it's all, even the Bible says that the nations are a drop in the bucket. There's America, there's Russia, there's China. That's too simple, eh? So I just was thinking about the simplicity, but I also want to boast a little bit tonight because I want to boast to my God. The challenge that came to the soul winning that we've now realized that we must get the culture of soul winning in our lives. We must have this culture in us. Just as much as many of us right now are concerned that the Yankees game is probably going to be rained out tonight because the culture of baseball is in the minds of everybody. Well, Wednesday, we left here, we prayed in the morning, and how many of us went out? It was about eight of us, was it? Six or eight of us went out? Who went out Wednesday morning? Just raise your little Danny. One, two, three, four, five, six. So it was just like they were talking about. I felt so threatened, so intimidated. I mean, look at the size of me, for God's sake. And I feel threatened to go out in the streets in daylight. So I did have an appointment with the x-ray place behind the Y. So that was our aim. I thought, let me park there and walk back. Well, Brian and Jeremy went in one direction. I went in the other direction. And I said, okay, off I go. Nobody. There's nobody on the street. Except the guys doing the road repairs. And I'm thinking, and I'm just standing there. And I felt like a little boy all of a sudden. I go, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, you know, I've been in the ministry 30 years. And I'm standing on the street, looking up and down the street, like they know something I don't know. Where is everybody? You know, have I missed the rapture or something? What's going on around here? And so I walk up there. There's nobody. And so I thought, oh, well, I didn't have breakfast, you know, try and reconcile a few thoughts in your mind. And so I went into Joey D's. Anybody know who Joey D's is? On Broadway, opposite the high school. So I go in there, and bam, the place is heaving with bodies. And they're talking about the Yankees. I thought, oh, God. And it was weird. Here I am, still the biggest guy in the place, still intimidated by all these strangers. And I think, So I ordered my bagel and egg, and I went over and I said, how'd the Yankees do last night? Oh, they won 10-1. Oh, I thought, step into that, you know. And it was the weirdest thing. Then the mayor turned up. You know, so here we are, all these guys, the mayor's there, and everybody knows everybody except me. And this weird feeling of rejection, and I don't belong, and you just have to deal with it somehow. And so I sat down, and I must admit, you know, we keep blaming Brian for all this stuff, so let's keep picking on him. I sitting down, and everybody leaves. I thought, yeah, I get it, except these two guys. And so one of them's Joey, the guy who owns the place. And so we're talking, And he says, oh, so I can see you're not born around here. What do you do? So I said, and I remember what Brian says. I'm an evangelist that travels around the world preaching the gospel and healing the sick. I thought, if he can say it, I can say it. And that was my opening. You know, I normally say, oh, I'm a pastor or I'm a missionary. No, I'm an evangelist that travels around the world preaching the gospel and healing the sick. And I just heard this coming out of my mouth with such enthusiasm, such persuasion. I thought, yeah. And I thought then, well, if he can say it, who the heck does he think he is? So I did it too. And it just opened the door. It's amazing how they go, wow, that's interesting. It is. You see, because somehow in your mind, you've just been in a crowd of guys, including the mayor, and some of you think maybe they're more interesting than what I got to say. Where the heck does that come from? This is where the scripture says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where's the stronghold? It's in your mind of who you think you are and who you think they are. And when we can pull those down and tug those strongholds down and realize, man, I don't know who you are or what you got, but I got something better. And you begin to come into a new confidence. And it was wonderful. Now, you know, we were talking about, of course, they're both, one was Italian, one was Irish. So they grew up in Catholic churches. And, you know, you begin to, and I thought, okay, this isn't going to go to the place of decision. But at least I was confident that I'd poured out about as far as I could get in that one encounter. So I stayed there quite a while. And then I went back to the x-ray place. Well, when I got in the x-ray place, I sat down to fill out a form, and there's a guy, like, close as from me to you guys there. Now he looked at something on the TV, said, oh, wow, that's terrible. And then suddenly I heard the nurse call his name. Now, this is when you've got to keep your ears open. Daniel, she said. And so Daniel got up and went. I thought, oh, okay, Daniel. I waited a few minutes. Wendy joined me, and then, you know, and then he came back out and sat over there to fill another form out. And I'm just feeling like this. Now, you see, because I shook the champagne bottle, and now the cork was, you got me? That's what it's all about. Once you can get the cork out of the bottle, trust the fizz. You need to trust the fizz, but you got to get the cork out. And so I'm sitting, and I can feel the fizz. I can just feel it in me. Go talk to that guy. He looks really downcast. And I said to Wendy, I got to go and talk to him. And just as I get to him, he stands up. Stand up. He stands up. I said, Daniel. Right in his face. You know, I mean, he couldn't get past me. Daniel. And he went like. And I thought, oh. Ball's in my court right now. I got the ball here, mate. You got to stop me now, you know? And it was tremendous. I said, Daniel, you look burdened, man. You look like you need somebody to pray. Can I pray for you? I said, I'm an evangelist. I travel all around the world preaching. I'd learned something already, you know? I said, do you believe in prayer? He said, well, I used to, he said, until my baby died. Woo, that's a kick in the guts. And so, you know, of course, then you begin with your John 10:10s. You know, if you believe it is God, then you must understand there's a darkness and the thief comes to steal. And all I can say, but I found out where he works. I know where he works in a pizza place. So I'm going to follow Daniel up. But I'm just saying this because you can't always, you know, it's not always, but again, it's those seeds. Again, it's that witness. It's again, talk using the name of Jesus, sharing the word with these people. Now I go in for the x-ray. Little guy in there, a little older than me, his name's Sheldon. And so he now, this was great. I'm telling you this because it was a great day. I felt afterwards like, not only like I'd been washed, I felt like I'd just won a game of rugby or something. I really did. I felt like I'd just been given, you know, a championship, something around my neck, you know, or a cup in my hand or something. It was a really great feeling. That's why I want to share it with you. And so I went in there. And I had to have all these x-rays. And so he said, yeah, I've been, he was 62 years old. He told me he's 62 years old. He said, I've been doing this since I was 26. He said, yeah, October 1973 is when I started this. Oh, I said, oh, at the time of the Yom Kippur War. He looked at me. You know, how many people know the Yom Kippur War was in October or September, October 1973? It just came to me like that. Of course, he's Jewish. So suddenly now this Jewish guy is saying, oh, you know, who are you? Well, actually, I'm an evangelist. I travel all around the world preaching the gospel and praying for the sick. And guess what? He said, you know what his problem was? He said, 6 years ago, my 23-year-old daughter died of heroin overdose. He said, and I was just talking to a guy in here called Daniel, whose baby died. Well, I knew that because I just talked to Daniel outside. And now this whole thing's opened up. And at the end, this guy, he said, you absolutely made my day. This is the best thing that's happened for me in weeks, you know. Found out all about him and everything. I just want to encourage you. Now, I know I got a personality and all those things, but I want to encourage you. When I walked out of that place, I just felt like 6'4". With my shoes on. I can't encourage you enough how awesome that felt. It was amazing. I've been in the ministry 30 years. I suddenly thought, who's got a camera? I can't tell you enough. I don't care how saved you are. Until you're giving something away. Until you find an empty jar to pour your little oil in, you're going to be robbed from the simplicity that's in Christ. You're going to be robbed from it. Next day, I had breakfast appointment at 7:30. First breakfast, second breakfast. I had eggs the first breakfast, pancakes the second breakfast. I thought, I need some dessert. I was 9:30. I was up there in Catskill with Pastor Ernie Fink. Great time. Awesome meeting with a great man of God. Oh, by the way, he's coming here Saturday, November the 7th. You must be here for Ernie. And whatever else you're doing, you're wrong. Cancel it. Saturday, November the 7th, that's two Saturdays from now, Pastor Ernie will be here to minister to us. He is one of the best speakers I've ever met in my life. He will be a great blessing. So make sure you tell everybody and everybody comes along. Saturday, the 7th. And the 10th of November is when Philip Smethurst is coming. I don't know any information yet. But anyway, so where was I? So I'm with Ernie, and I'm at the diner in Catskill, and I come out of there, and I was going to go home. Now, obviously, the quickest way from Catskill to Kingston, straight down the thruway. I thought, let's go down 9W for a change. I can't remember the last time I've driven down 9W. So I go down 9W. I'm down there 1 mile, hitchhiker. And you see the hitchhiker. You're on a double yellow line. There's a van or something behind me and a big Mack truck zooming down behind me. And you go, whoa, this would be dangerous to stop. And then you go, pull over, you know, that quick decision, pull over. And I pulled over and stopped, and this kid ran up, the trucks come flying past me. You know, all these rationalizing that we do, whether we should or we shouldn't. Sometimes you got to take a chance with a double yellow line, man. I know the law says don't cross it, but it's the law that's going to send him to hell too. So anyway, he jumps in, young kid, Joseph, 24 years old. Straight away. Oh, you're not from around here, are you? No, I'm an evangelist. I travel all around the world preaching the gospel. And anybody here ever left the country? Okay, listen, try this next time you talk to someone. Say, hi, yeah, I'm an evangelist. I travel all around the world preaching the gospel and praying for the sick. You can do that. Because it really gets people's attention. Yeah. Now him, we were nailed. I was able to lead that guy to the Lord. Hallelujah. And I'm saying that because it's like been, wow, what a week. Then coming back from dropping him off in Broadway, he actually lives in Catskill, but he's going to Broadway. I'm driving back past the mobile station and the quick check at the end of Sawkill, and I saw this couple. Unfortunately, they've got to be the dirtiest couple I've possibly ever seen in my life, standing by the mobile with some sign. I couldn't read it. And I drove past them and went, whew, and I drove over the bridge, and they went, ah. There it is. You've got to respond to that. You've got to respond to the voice of God when he gives you that little nudge. Because you know he gives you a little nudge every day. But we've become so complicated. We've been robbed from the simplicity that's in Christ. And we don't feel the nudge. We don't feel it. It's just a little thing. It's just a little. You know, the Bible says that you put a bit in a horse's mouth. Any horse riders here? I hate horse riding myself. It's like sitting on a greasy pole. I can't handle it. It's all right for you folks from Texas. I'm sure you know how to do it, but I'm sure I don't. And the thing is, the Scripture says that they put a bit in a horse's mouth, but the Scripture says he guides us with his eye. He guides us with his eye. Now, if we're being compared with a horse, where are we going? I mean, what are we doing? Do you know how many of us are called to go to battle, and on the way we're being distracted by some stupid little Jack Russell yapping at us, and we stop and get off our horse and chase the Jack Russell? All these little things in life are robbing us from the simplicity that's in Christ. I realize that witnessing isn't anywhere near as hard as I thought it was. It's a case of just listening to the nudge, looking at his eye, hearing that little word. Should I, shouldn't I? You should. Should I, shouldn't I? You should. Can I, can't I? You can. But we begin to compare ourselves, getting something in our mind that person, I mean, what was that guy? Is Xavier here? That guy today that you, who were you with? With Jeremy. Jeremy, come and tell us what happened. The first guy.
I walked up to him. He was the first guy we ministered or tried to minister to. And I said, hey, I just wanted to tell you that God loves you. Like, I stood right in front of him. He was almost running, like he was really going fast. Anyway, he said, you gotta be flipping kidding me. And he said, you're talking to the devil. And I said, okay, well, God still loves you. And then he like took two more steps and he turned around and he said, maybe God can help me. Where's the GNC? And I have no clue what that is, but Xavier said it's some sort of vitamin store. And he said, that way. And I said, that way. So he walked that way, and then we saw him coming back. And I said, Jesus still loves you. And he did this. And I hope we made his day.
You know, I can only compare serving God to playing baseball. There's never been an unbeaten season. There's been undefeated world heavyweight champions. One, Rocky Marciano. There's been teams that have gone through a football season undefeated. But nobody has ever gone through a baseball season undefeated. The key to serving God is that when you lose a game, you're playing the next day. And you can't afford to struggle with the loss. That's a good thing about baseball. How do you play a doubleheader in one day and lose the first game and get straight back out in the field? Unless you've got confidence that what you've got is greater than the attempt or that's come against you for the Lord. Once you lose that understanding, like this guy, the first guy they witnessed to, was the devil himself, so he said. And so what did they do? They kept it simple. They weren't going to be robbed. They weren't going to get into debate. They weren't going to get into argument. They weren't going to get into strife. They just kept going forward. And this is what we got to do. And let's face it, folks. I know there's some people in this room. The last time you witnessed to somebody publicly was probably when Ronald Reagan was president. Or a movie star. Or born. You know what I'm saying? It's because we've got to stop being robbed from the simplicity that's in Christ. I've had a great week. Now, I want to tell you a story. It's got absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I just feel the Holy Spirit's nudging me this. I'm trying to make a decision to go back to simplicity. Most of you know my story. When I was born again, I became as green as grass as far as believing that I had a Father in heaven. He was going to look after me. You know, when I sold everything, gave it away, and hitchhiked to Jerusalem, and some of those stories that I've told in the past, and how, you know, God provided everything for me. He provided food, clothes, shelter, everything, except windshield wipers. What you got to do is take the one off the passenger side, put it on the driver's side, and push the arm forward. Then it won't scratch your windshield because it's going to go like that. But anyway, I just thought, just in case the next time you lose a windshield wiper, the miracle doesn't happen. You go, put that one on that side, push that one forward. And anyway, I've done it myself. Okay, sorry. I want to tell you a story about the woman that, did everybody understand that, what I just said, in case you have the same problem? And you call upon the name of the Don instead of the name of the Lord? No. You done it? Oh. I want to tell you a story that I really rocked my world this week. Can you give me 5 minutes to share this story? The woman I was trained under in the spirit, her name was Ruth Heflin. She was a third-generation preacher. She was born in church Sunday night after the Sunday night service, which I thought was pretty neat. She was literally born in the church. They lived in the Sunday school rooms. Her father was a pioneer Pentecostal preacher. And so she was raised, and she went to church 6 nights a week for 2 years when she was about 10, 11 years old. It was about in 1948, 49, the beginning of the latter rain revival, if any of you know anything about modern church history. And God really ministered to her and touched her life that she went to Hong Kong. This would have been in 1958, when she was 18 years old. On her own, got on a ship, sailed to Hong Kong. And she was there for a couple of years. She met all these people you've ever read books about. You know, anybody ever seen The Inn of Sixth Happiness? Anybody remember that old movie? You know, she knew that woman who's the one, China Cried. Does anybody remember that? Nora Lamb. She knows her. And all this, you know, she was in Hong Kong for these years, for two couple of years. Then she went to India, and at 21 and 22 years old, she preached to crowds. I've seen the photographs, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, 21, 22 years old, preaching in India where they never accepted women preachers. But she did this for till she was 22. Then when she was 23, God gave her a prophetic word through her mother. And her mother prophesied over and said, I'm going to send you to K-A-T-H-M-A-N-D-U. And while you're in K-A-T-H-M-A-N-D-U, she didn't know how to pronounce it, so she spelt it. She saw it in vision, Kathmandu, in the Himalayan mountains in Nepal. So she went there because God then gave her a vision. I want you to stay with this a minute. Another man gave her a vision, said, I see a crown with pearl drop jewelry in the crown. So she went to get a visa for Nepal in New York City. And when she got to there, she went in the wrong door by accident, banged on the wrong door. The guy opened the door and said, what are you doing? She said, I'm looking for a visa. He said, no, it's not here, but come in anyway. And when she walked in, she saw a picture of the crown that this man had seen in the vision, and the king of Nepal was wearing it. Now, she didn't know there was a king in Nepal. So she felt the Lord was speaking to her to witness to the king of Nepal when she gets to Kathmandu. Well, it was a miracle how she got the finances for the airfare, but I'm not going to bother with that. She got there. You're only allowed to stay for 6 days in Kathmandu. It is a completely closed culture back then in the early 1960s. 6 days were as long as you could stay. At the airport, she met a man who was a colonel from something to do with the embassy in Kathmandu. She got on the plane. The guy sitting next to her was a major. She mentioned the colonel's name. The major knew the colonel. So therefore, the major, when they got to Kathmandu, took her to all the different embassies and began to introduce her to different people. 6 day visa. She stayed for 6 months. She stayed in the best hotel in the city for 6 months. Now, I'm talking about someone who's living by faith. I'm talking about somebody who leaves home, has got no money, can't afford all these things. When she gets there, then she gets invited to all these different embassies, and in the end, she begins to meet royal family. One thing leads to another. And one of these members of the royal family, they said, "Well, what are you doing here?" She said, "I've come to minister to the king." She says, "Oh, you think so?" He said, "Yes, I was in the embassy in New York, and I saw this picture of this crown upon the." And the man said, "I gave that picture to the embassy in New York." I mean, these things that happened, everything fell into place, one thing after another. But listen to this part. They hate Christians in Nepal. There was a man just sentenced to 9 years in prison for leading 9 people and baptizing them in water, that he got 1 year sentence for each person that he baptized. 9 years in prison. And she was in there to preach the gospel to the king. She's 24. One night she goes upstairs to her room. Her room's on fire. Somebody had set fire to it on purpose. Her Bible was on the bed. The bed was completely burning. She reached in, grabbed her Bible, ran out of the room. Her Bible, not a mark on it, not a smell of smoke on it. But the room was completely destroyed, all her clothes and everything else. But the best one was while she was there, her mother, every night she would get down on her knees on the bed, and she'd get down to pray, and she'd just open her Bible, and she opened it with a psalm that talks about sleeping the sleep of death. Has anybody ever read that verse? We'll have to look it up. And she said, "Oh, maybe Ruth's in trouble," and she began to pray for her daughter. Well, the next night, she went to bed, she got down on her knees, she opened the Bible, same verse. Now she's worried. She wakes her husband up. "We got to pray for Ruth." So they pray together, and they eventually pray through, and they go to bed. Third night, she gets down on her knees, opens the Bible, same verse. Now she's getting worried. She prays with her husband, turned and said, "We've got to pray." And do you know what her husband said? She said, "Listen, we've got to see whether Ruth is called or not. And if she's called, she'll be okay." Now, how's that from simplicity? How's that for trusting God for your kids? That's what I'm talking about. We are robbed from that simplicity. As soon as we hear about our children have got a cough, we panic. As soon as we hear that our kids have lost their job, we panic. As soon as we hear that the children, that their car was broken down, we panic. Ruth gets up, because 2 of my daughter's cars broke down this week. C'est la vie. Listen to the end of the story. Ruth gets up, comes down to breakfast. They said, "Where have you been?" She said, "What do you mean, where have I been? We haven't seen you for days." She didn't know. She'd been lying on her bed for days, unconscious. She'd been poisoned, but she didn't die. And she woke up and didn't even know there was a problem. Just came down to breakfast like it's some other morning. Now, I'm saying this because obviously she was called. And there was a simple call upon that woman's life. She spent the rest of her life going from country to country to country. She may be the only person ever born who have this record that has actually ministered in every country in the world. I'm saying that because there was always a simplicity with her. A simplicity. A simple hallelujah. A simple song. A simple word. And that's why I round out that really she's one of the most remarkable women I've ever known in my life. She prophesied over kings. She prophesied over Haile Selassie in Ethiopia. She prophesied over Margaret Thatcher in England. She prophesied over all kinds of people around the world. Because there was a simplicity in her life, a simplicity in her gift, that she believed that God had a call upon her life to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'm going to encourage all of you tonight. I fear that somehow, as the serpent beguiled Eve by his craftiness, that you may be deceived in your minds from the simplicity that's in Christ. Can we really live a life that we say, take no thought for tomorrow? Take no thought for what you eat or what you wear? These things the heathens think of. Be not unbelieving, but believing.